This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday nights can only mean one thing. It is time for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show, exclusively on SB Nation Radio. You can always listen online, live, and also join us live at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Email the show. We love to hear from our audience. Info at eRadiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Of course, our program brought to you by Progressive. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. We have got an amazing program over the next 2 hours. We're going to talk some college football. Eli Gold, the iconic voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, he's going to be with us here in hour one. We also will take time for some NFL news and notes and lots of PGA news to share. But right now, we're going to pop up the mic, visit with my producer, give him a follow on Twitter. Always posting some amazing tweets. That is JackMC15. He's my guy, Jack McCraw. Good evening, Jack. How are you?
Good evening, Alyssa. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Got a big weekend ahead of us. We're looking forward to some wonderful, fresh, new PGA programming. But I want to back up a moment because we always look forward to, on Sunday night, The Last Dance. And we just saw episode 7 and 8. You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about Michael Jordan. What do you think about him? I mean, was he a bully as a teammate?
Absolutely. I don't think that would fly in today's NBA, but I admire the passion and the commitment that he had towards winning. As he said at best, winning comes with a price, and some players implement that like Kobe Bryant did. Michael Jordan was crazy on his teammates and crazy on his competition.
What were your takeaways from what Steve Kerr had to share as far as his uniqueness as being a leader? He didn't back down from MJ. He finally stood up to him.
And it cost him a nice knock in the face. But I think Steve Kerr's courage to stand up against Michael Jordan does show good character on his part. And the fact that he was one of the first ones to actually come in and push him around, push him back, because that's what Michael wanted to. And Steve Kerr developed that championship mentality because of it.
Okay, since we're on the topic of the NBA, how close do you think we are to seeing it return? I know that NBA fans were anxious for it to get back and to finish out the 2019-2020 season.
I would say we should know something by June, and I'm hoping that we could see something like the playoffs start in July and finish up in August.
Okay, so we talk about the NBA. We're going to get ready to talk some college football with the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. That is Eli Gold. Come on back, the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our first interview, Progressive Insurance, always making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. And we are going to turn our attention in hour one to some college football. Where does college football stand at this point? The season, it is rapidly approaching and still so many questions that have yet to be answered due to this pandemic. We are delighted to have back with us, that is the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the legendary Eli Gold, who is in his third decade as the voice of Alabama. And we wanted to get some answers on all these questions. Good evening, Eli. And how are you doing? How are you and your family holding up?
We are doing well, thanks, Alyssa. Everything is fine, and thank God we're healthy, keeping our distance from everybody and walking around wearing a mask, which I am told is a vast improvement for me anyway. So that's good. But, yeah, you know, I'm catching up on some reading, as you and I were talking briefly before we started this conversation. I've done a good bit of reading, catching up on books that have been given to me that you just never get a chance to read, catching up on some TV watching. Perry Mason still hasn't ever lost a case to Hamilton Burger, so
okay.
He's kept his streak intact. And otherwise, things are fine, just hopeful like everybody is that we'll have a college football season to talk about before too long.
Well, this is an uncertain time, and the coronavirus certainly has us all searching for answers. So where does college football stand at this point? I mean, we're not even sure when the season will get underway.
No, we have no idea. I know yesterday the SEC put out a press release about a medical task force, and the members of that medical task force who will help guide the conference in preparing for the return to athletic activity. We've heard from a lot of ADs across the country, if not university presidents across the country, that, you know, they don't anticipate athletics until the general student body is on campus. And then, of course, you hear, you know, situations are different in certain parts of the nation. We all hear that. There are far more issues involving New York and California than there are in, you know, Montana and Wyoming. So I don't know exactly how it's going to be handled, but, they do have all these task forces in place, particularly in the SEC. Again, they put out that release yesterday that this task force is going to recommend the different protocols and the best practices for guiding a safe return for work on campus, for individual workouts, skill sessions, and all of that. So, you know, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So I can't help you on that. I'll be watching and listening to the experts like you will be.
The iconic voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We love him. Eli Gold back with us on SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Timeline-wise, you just have to wonder, you know, when the players could return to campus. But I just have to wonder, how much time would the coaches, the players, these programs need in order to train and prepare to, say, get ready for a season?
Well, you know, again, I don't know. We have done some talk shows on our network. We had a show with Coach Saban and our director of athletics, Greg Byrne, which actually aired in place of our spring football game a few weeks ago. And Coach Saban talked about, you know, a couple of weeks of fundamental work and then maybe 4 weeks of a standard camp, if you will. I've seen some coaches talk about all they need is 4 weeks. I've seen some coaches say they need 2 full months. Everybody is different. There is no one standard template for this. And obviously we've all heard the talk, you know. I mean, there are some who say the season will start on time.
Mm-hmm.
Some say, you know, they're happy if the season starts a month late. There are some say, well, you know, we can play well into 2021. Again, I don't know. It is, there are so many unknowns right now. Everybody has voiced an opinion, and that's wonderful that they do. The good thing is, Alyssa, the good thing is that everybody has the same goal in mind. Everybody
right.
wants college football, and I'm sure the pros as well. Everybody wants the games to resume. But you've got to do so smartly. With the best interests of the student athletes and the fans and everybody else who works at the stadium on game day, everybody's got to be considered, and keeping everybody healthy is the number one criteria.
The COVID-19 virus, it has affected each state differently. And one thing we know for sure is that the 2020 season is going to have a very different look and feel to it. I mean, even if it does get underway, there's probably not going to be fans. So we're not sure what the future holds. Weigh in on, and what's your reaction to California State University system announcing that students would not return to campus this fall?
I don't know enough about their situation living here
mm-hmm.
in Alabama.
Right.
They did and made a decision based on the facts that they have that represents the situations in their community. Every school has to, it doesn't even matter if we're talking about the coronavirus, with this ruling a few months ago, I guess it's been a month and a half ago now, whatever, where seniors whose senior season was shortened or canceled, you know, the softball players, the baseball players, what have you, that they would be welcomed back next year with an extra year of eligibility. Well, you know, that's great, and it works for some schools. We also know that the University of Wisconsin and their director of athletics said that they will not be allowing those seniors to return for an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked about that on the air with our director of athletics. And, you know, the bottom line is it is not for us to comment on what other schools do. They have to take care of their own situation using the knowledge and the parameters that they have to deal with. So what works for Wisconsin may not work for Alabama. What works for Bama may not work for somebody in, you know, in the California system. So, you know, people don't make those kind of decisions quickly or as a knee-jerk reaction. And I'm sure that the folks in the California state system looked at it and weighed the options and looked at what they felt was best dealing with the numbers and the scope of the issue that they have to deal with out on the West Coast. And again, what works for them, what the numbers for them, and the situation and the density of the population, far different than, you know, Wyoming, far different than Montana, far different from Alabama and, of course, and New York. So, you know, they did what they felt was best.
You're listening to the legendary voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, with us about another minute, SB Nation Radio. Give us the pulse on your fans. I mean, they've got to be feeling some anxiety. I mean, they love Crimson Tide football. What's the message right now to them as far as with so many unknowns?
Well, the message is that nobody wants to play football any more than does the administration at the University of Alabama. Everybody's hope against all hope is that there will be a full season, whether it starts Labor Day weekend, whether it starts 2-3 weeks later, a month later. The fans understand, and it's been made very clear, everybody wants that college football season to be played. So it's not a question of anything, any hidden agendas here.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants the games to be played. It's just a matter of, you know, whether the circumstances in the world will allow that to happen. And unfortunately, as we sit here and talk on the 15th of May, you don't know, I don't know, nobody knows. But what we are doing is we're repackaging some of Alabama's best football game broadcasts. We are editing them down just a little bit, and we're, they've been offered back out to our affiliated stations. You know, games going back, 18, 19 years, whatever it is. We're offering those to our stations. We are doing the occasional talk show, as I mentioned earlier. We've got, just yesterday, I participated on a YouTube video with all 14 Southeastern Conference play-by-play guys.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We used that Zoom app,
uh-huh.
And we had all 14 of us on at the same time telling stories, just talking about, you know, our universities and shooting the breeze, and it ran about an hour and three quarters, and it's up on YouTube. So we're creating we're doing a lot of interviews with former players and putting them up on Facebook Live sites and so on. So, and that's not unique to Alabama, I must say. Other schools in the SEC are doing the same thing. So we're trying to create programming and to create content for our fans to try and, give them something. Instead of just, instead of nothing and hope, we're trying to give them content and hope at the same time.
We are wrapping up our time. The voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, give me a quick hit with Tua being drafted and going to the Miami Dolphins.
I'm thrilled for him. He's a wonderful young man. The Dolphins have not only gotten a great quarterback, they have gotten a great, if not a better person and a better family. So I'm thrilled for him, and we'll miss him here, no question about it, but I'm looking forward in our part of the world here.
Uh-huh.
The Dolphins are one of the games that we get on a regional basis over the weekend.
Nice.
We tend to get Falcons games, Saints games, Titans games, and the Florida teams. So hopefully we'll see a good bit of Tua on the TV this week or this season.
The iconic voice of the Crimson Tide for more than 30 years, Eli Gold, has been with us. What a great way to kick off hour one. You stay safe, Eli, and we'll talk soon in the fall. Thank you.
You too, and to all of your listeners. Everybody stay healthy out there. We'll hopefully talk to you when football season draws near.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect with us, always on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. And we always need to recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. As promised, the golf conversation is going to continue in our next segment. And good news, because golf courses across the country, they are opening up with safety restrictions in place due to the coronavirus pandemic. But it's good to be back. I mean, golf is almost in full swing. So right now, we're going to open up our phone line and visit with the number one golf retailer in the golf industry, and that is the PGA Tour Superstore. Spent a lot of time there. I love it. Thrilled to have back with us the senior vice president, and that is Randy Pyshe. Good evening, Randy. Nice to have you with us.
Good evening, Alyssa. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back on your show.
Well, talk to us. Give us the pulse on how things are in Georgia. How are you and your family holding up?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And I was going to ask about you and your golfer son as well. So, but it's good. As you know, Georgia was one of the first states that attempted to open back up retail and restaurants and other things. So it's, you know, we still have very much a finger on the pulse of the health of not only our state, but our nation, and definitely the cleanliness and the safety protocols that we're experiencing every day in every place that we go. We wanted to be first and foremost in those. And so I appreciate you asking about my family, because we appreciate everybody's families as well when they come in, and certainly want the safety of our customers and our associates to be primary in any conversation that we have, because obviously this is a something that our country and our world has never really experienced before. So we're treading on unique ground.
It is an unprecedented time. We are going one-on-one with the senior vice president of the PGA Superstore, and that is Randy Pyshe. And, you know, Randy, I said in my opening statement that, you know, golf courses, they're opening, but this has been such a challenge with, you know, I'm sure, most of your stores being closed, and it's had a significant impact on business and the global economy. How has COVID-19, how has it affected the PGA Tour Superstore?
Yes, and clearly it was it was very bad timing for us, given that April kind of marks the unofficial start, if you will, of the golf season, with the Masters traditionally being played in April, and a lot of people just starting to get back into it. And I think from the positive side of how it's impacted it, with schools closing and people staying at home and kids' sports being canceled, that golf has been in many ways a release for people, with many golf courses staying open throughout this pandemic. But even as we sit here today, that over 90% of the golf courses around the country are open. So it's given people as best as we can tell, and I'm no scientist, I'm no doctor, but from everything that I've read, studied, that being out in the fresh air, and as long as social distancing is practiced, that golf is a very good thing to be doing during this time, because you're out, you're exercising, you're in the fresh air, and it's very easy to stay 6 feet away from people and not use rakes and not pull the flag out. And many, many golf courses around our country are experiencing record numbers of people. And so we've seen that as well. And while our business has taken a hit, and as you mentioned, it definitely was not a great March or April for us, we are seeing great signs of recovery now in our business. And we instituted things like curbside caddy, which, as you know, many restaurants are doing curbside and other businesses. And we integrated that in less than 48 hours, and that's been a huge home run. We've done 21,000, roughly, curbside caddy orders since that program launched a few weeks ago, which has been amazing, almost $3 million in sales. Our e-commerce business, as many businesses are, is significantly up. We're up about 150% in our e-commerce business. In the last 2 weeks, it's been up over 250%. So it is signaling to us that consumers are ready to get back into golf. And we've had over a million, almost 1.5 million brand new visitors to our website during this pandemic. So that's a really good sign that new people are visiting us and really getting back into golf or getting into golf. Some of our businesses, like junior clubs and women's package sets and men's package sets, traditionally bought by people who are just getting into the game, those businesses have been way off the charts good. So it's nice to see that at least golf is healthy and that we're able to participate in some way to people's recreation, release, and relief, which we all know that being stuck in your house or apartment for this long, that we all need to get out and exercise and get some fresh air.
And that was going to be my question as far as, you know, how will you adapt, change business going forward? And you already are recalibrating and offering so many things for the consumer. I love to spend my time. We're here in Houston, but I'll go over to Katy, Texas, and spend time in the PGA Tour Superstore. But I did check out your website, and it's very easy to navigate through.
Yeah, and thanks for saying that. And we're very proud of the things that our website has done in the e-commerce business. But as you asked about our stores, and we kind of have three C's that we're doing now, and that's cleanliness, care, and comfort. And those things are things that we really want to stress for everything that we do. And it's really a new way of doing business for us. We have shipped to our stores tens of thousands of disposable masks, thousands of reusable masks, hundreds and hundreds of gallons of hand sanitizers, gloves, and sanitizing stations across the stores. And we put together a little video for all of our store associates so that they know exactly what is expected of them. And we have what's called a starter now in our stores where somebody greets you at the front door.
Right.
And if you're bringing clubs in for repair, that those are immediately sanitized so that anything coming in from the outside is immediately sanitized. This person is also responsible for social distancing, so making sure that in line people are standing 6 feet apart. And even, you know, in our industry, it's pretty easy to say two club lengths equals 6 feet.
Safety first is the mindset at the PGA Tour Superstore. I thought what was really cool when I walked in, I didn't realize you can set your customers up with a simulator. Tell us more about that. You had just mentioned a simulator.
Yeah, and it's been amazing because, as we know, as I mentioned earlier, if you're cooped up in your house, you're stuck in your house.
Right.
You've got a little space in the basement. It doesn't take much room nowadays, and you can buy what we call a sim in a box, and it's literally a simulator. You can order it online. It'll deliver to your house for an extra $1,500. They'll come and set the whole thing up. You don't even have to touch it. And it's really a great way to say we're taking the technology that's inside of our stores every single day where you could come in and play Pebble Beach and play games on a simulator, golf games, that you can do that right now in your own home. For a few thousand dollars, you can get that in and get it set up in your home.
The Senior Vice President of the PGA Tour Superstore, Randy Pyche, with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio. And we've got Memorial Day coming up. Father's Day is going to be here soon. So what kind of specials do you have going on in the store?
Yeah, so it's great. We actually, as you can imagine, Father's Day is a really big time of year for us. And we've got a ton of specials going on, golf balls in particular. There's a lot of great deals on golf balls. There's some clubs that literally launched just a few months ago. Last year, if you recognize the name Epic Flash from Callaway, those are at least $100 off depending on whether you buy Fairway Wood Hybrid or Driver. Some great, great deals on clubs. Our apparel deals are always good, but especially during Father's Day, to come in and check out all the discounts that we have going on apparel. And it's really a great time to be shopping for golf products. And this time of year is good anyway, but it's especially good now as we think about Father's Day when maybe your dad or the dad in your life is just starting to get back to, okay, I think I can go outside and play golf again.
Uh-huh.
What a great gift it is. So anything golf related. And even if you're not near a store, and I know this is a nationwide program, that if you're not near a store, you can always go online and get them a dozen golf balls or a gift card. And a gift card always works well for if you don't know what dad wants.
Absolutely. And you can shop with peace of mind, virtual business, e-commerce, and curbside caddy program that the senior vice president of the PGA Tour Superstore, Randy Peisch, was telling us about. We are flat out of time. Listen, have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to another conversation real soon. Thank you so much, Randy.
Thanks for having me on, Alyssa, and you take care of yourself, and I look forward to seeing you at the Katy store very soon.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. The Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Many different ways to connect and platforms. Always live on Twitter at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com, and Progressive Insurance, always making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Well, in our next segment, we are ready for some NFL news and notes. We are going to zero in on the New England Patriots, and what an offseason it has been. We're going to break down the Patriots roster, all the additions and subtractions. Tom Brady, of course, leaves to join the Buccaneers, and we are delighted to have back with us from the Boston Globe, that is the Patriots beat reporter, Jim McBride. Hello, Jim. How are you doing? And most importantly, how is your family holding up?
Everyone's holding up great. Thanks for asking, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you back on the program, and you've been on my list. I'm like, I got to get a hold of Jim because we've got to get the pulse on the Patriots off season. So just give us your assessment.
Well, it's funny, you know, when Tom left in March with St. Patrick's Day up here, and, you know, fans didn't even have a chance to kind of drown their sorrows because that was the day that the shutdown came in Massachusetts because of the pandemic. So, you know, it's kind of been hard to get a pulse on how people really feel because they've been so preoccupied with the pandemic. But it's funny, when Gronk left a couple weeks ago, it seemed like there was more of an outcry than when Tom left originally because people were preoccupied with other things. But then as they settled into kind of a new normal and they realized Gronk was coming back, but it wasn't to the Patriots, there was a little more outrage. People were a little more settled in their ways, and they were upset about it. But, you know, there's been it's been a weird off season. You know, this was the first year that in like 20 years that the Patriots went into the draft and you really had no idea what they were picking, because usually, you know, there were several spots that were spoken for, so you knew that they weren't going to be looking for a quarterback early or a tight end early. But this year was really wide open. So there's been a lot of a lot of talk, despite the fact that you know, nobody's in Foxborough right now. Everyone's kind of working virtually, but the Patriots, you know, are still a hot topic.
The Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe, check him out, that's globe.com. Jim McBride is back with us on SB Nation Radio. Okay, so did you think Tampa Bay was the most motivated team to land Tom Brady?
You know, I really didn't until late in the process. I kind of had, like a lot of people thought, that Tennessee was the landing spot. You know, Tom has such a close relationship with Mike Vrabel. It's a team that has a good defense. They went to the AFC Championship game last year, great ground game, so he wouldn't have to carry the load. I just thought all the pieces fit there. But, you know, when they got aggressive with re-signing Tannehill, that's when people kind of started turning their attention to Tampa Bay, because there had been kind of rumblings, but people thought, well, you know, Jameis Winston is still there, and, you know, he was coming off a tough season with the 30 interceptions and all, but you figured, still in all, they were going to try and retain him. So until Tannehill was kind of signed, sealed, and delivered back in Tennessee, that's where I thought the landing spot was. So a bit of a surprise when it ended up being Tampa Bay.
So why did ultimately Tom Brady walk away from the Patriots?
I think it was just time. You know, he wanted a new challenge, I guess you could say. You know, he wanted some new weapons, a new environment, you know, warm weather. I think it was just, you know, I don't think there was any, you know, foundations were cracking here in Foxborough, like a lot of people like to talk about, or a fractured relationship between him and Coach Belichick, or him and, you know, Robert Kraft. I think it was just two parties that decided that, look, this is the time to kind of break free. You know, and that's what happened. But I still think, you know, Tom will always be remembered as a Patriot, and I don't think there's any bad blood or ill will I just think it was time to move on. It was just one of those things. You never thought it was going to happen, but it sure did. And, you know, even talking to Mr. Kraft the morning that Tom announced, he thought that Tom was coming over that night, the night before, to kind of hammer out a new deal because that's what they had done in the past. So it kind of took him by surprise, too.
Tom Brady, a six-time Super Bowl winner, obviously a surprising end to his time with the Patriots. But I have to ask you, Jim, you know, what are your expectations? Will the Buccaneers be going to get to the Super Bowl, or could they win it?
You know, I'm interested to see how Tom fits in the Tampa Bay offense because they have so many vertical threats in that offense. And,
right,
you know, he's kind of been the master of the West Coast and the kind of a horizontal dink and dunk offense, especially the last few years, where, you know, he's gotten older and the arm strength hasn't been there like it was earlier in his career. So, I'm interested to see if he has the arm strength to keep up with some of those thoroughbreds that the Tampa Bay has. But certainly with the weapons they have around him, they would have to be considered one of the favorites in the NFC. You know, especially with Gronk back too, one of his favorite safety blankets, even if he can't go deep. He can always find Gronk underneath, and, you know, that was such a lethal combination for so many years in Foxborough. We'll see if it translates to the Tampa Bay offense.
Do you think Brady, he can play at a championship level?
I think he can. If he's surrounded by, you know, weapons, which he is, if the ground game can be, you know, effective, and he's more of a 50-50 guy rather than a guy that has to throw the ball, you know, 50 times a game, I certainly think they can make hay, and he can be effective. I mean, he's got such a wealth of knowledge in this league, being there for 20 years, and despite the fact that it was in one offense for the most part for all that time, I think that he's got enough knowledge and recall that he's going to be able to fit into any offense with ease. You know, the terminology and the verbiage might be different, but there's not too many defenses that are going to fool Tom Brady very often.
Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe, Globe.com. That is Jim McBride, who is back with us on SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Let's narrow our focus and talk more about the Patriots. Okay, Bill Belichick, do you think he got enough back from the Buccaneers on this trade?
You know, I do. I really do, because, you know, I don't think Rob was coming back to play with the Patriots under any circumstances where they have a new quarterback and a, you know, kind of a new era. So I think that if he came back at all, it was going to be with, you know, wherever Tom was. So the fact that he came back at all and the Patriots got a fourth round draft pick out of it, you know, that worked out well. It probably worked out best for both parties because the Patriots ended up getting an extra draft pick out of it, you know, kind of a, you know, right about market value, I would say, to get it for him. Now, if it was a couple of years ago when they were trading Gronk, like there had been speculation that he was going to be traded to Detroit 3 years ago, You would have expected a lot more than a third round pick or a fourth round pick, but I think he did. I think that, you know, you'll see that down the line with whoever ends up being, you know, that pick. You know, there were a lot of machinations on draft night. You know, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Okay, the 2020 NFL draft, the virtual draft, I should say, it is now in the rearview mirror. What were your takeaways, and what needs did the Patriots address?
You know, I think they addressed kind of the needs that they lost on defense. Really a top five defense last year. They lost some key parts in the front seven with Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins and Landon Roberts leaving and also nose tackle Danny Shelton. But they got some guys that I think are going to be able to contribute right away. Two linebackers, Josh Uche and Anthony Jennings, second and third rounders that I think have shown the versatility during their college days that they could fit in to the Patriots defense, which, you know, puts a premium on flexibility and guys that can play all three downs and can do multiple things, such as rush the passer off the edge, you know, drop into coverage, set the edge against the run. And these guys have proven that they can do that at the college level. So if they can make the transition, I think the defense will still be able to maintain its high level of play from last year, especially with that outstanding secondary they have. I thought, you know, like a lot of people, that they were going to be looking at a quarterback in this draft. They didn't end up drafting one. And I think that was more of an endorsement of Jarrett Stidham than it was an indictment of this quarterback class. Mm-hmm. You know, if you weren't going to get Tua or Joe Burrow, then you were probably going to take your chances with who you had. And I think they really like Jarrett Stidham. And it's going to sound like a cliche when I say they think they got a steal with him in the fourth round last year, but I really think they do. I think they saw enough out of him in practice and in the exhibition season last year that they really think that he can carry this offense. You know, he practiced a lot more than most of Tom Brady's understudies practice, just to kind of keep the wear and tear off Tom last year. So this, the offensive coaching staff, including Josh McDaniels, obviously the coordinator, they saw a lot out of Jared Stidham last year, a lot of practice snaps. And I think they obviously liked what they saw, and that's why they didn't use a draft pick on a quarterback.
Jarrett, when we talk about him, he can carry the offense, but what's your view in terms of perception? Is he the next franchise quarterback for the Patriots?
I think they believe that they can make the next step with him. You know, he's a really smart kid, very competitive, you know, and in talking to a lot of the guys that went against him last year in practice, like Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty, they raved about him. So I think they can. I think that, you know, he won't be kind of locked in and focused on certain receivers like Tom acknowledged he was during the later stages of his Patriots career, where he just didn't have the trust in guys. Jarrett goes in with a clean slate. And he built a rapport with two guys who probably are going to have a big impact on this offense this year, and N'Keal Harry, the first-round pick from last year, and Jacoby Myers, who was an undrafted free agent. Spent a lot of time with Jarrett as rookies last year, and I think that those relationships will kind of bear fruit this year.
Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe, Jim McBride, is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So how concerned are you in terms of with the NFL season that it's going to start on time? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, there's so many questions. I'm encouraged by the fact that they're kind of proceeding as if the schedule will happen, you know, releasing the schedule on time. And, you know, I have to be encouraged by that. I think that, you know, there's different guidelines and protocols that seem to be coming out every day. I know recently they just said, you know, the virtual program that was going to end on the 18th has now been extended through May. So I have my doubts that there'll be OTAs or even a mandatory mini camp, but I'm optimistic that that regular training camp will start in late July. I don't think you'll see fans at that, you know, at those practices like we have in the past. But I have to be encouraged that they're going to start on time. I'm hopeful, that's for sure.
Well, Jim, I was pretty encouraged too, just watching the NFL draft, you know, talking about being virtual. I mean, they pulled that off. I thought they did a very nice job.
Yeah. And even Coach Belichick talked to us after the last day of the draft Saturday night and said that, you know, some of the virtual things that they've put in place have gone a lot better than he thought. So for him to say that, it was kind of encouraging to fans that they're going to be able to, you know, hit the ground running when they do get the okay to return to the facility. Now, you know, who knows what it's going to be like as far as testing and how often these players are going to be tested. And if there are positive tests, does that shut training camp down? And does that get an unfair advantage to one team if, you know, or to other teams if one team has to shut it down? So there's so many questions that have to still be answered. But I think time is luckily on their side, you know, and the fact that the season doesn't start till September, there's still time to figure things out and put, you know, safety precautions in place. So, you know, I said earlier I felt bad for my colleagues that cover baseball and basketball and hockey, that, you know, their sports would be in the middle of things right now and they can't cover it. But from an NFL beat writer's perspective, this is probably, you know, the time that we're not near the facilities very often anyway. So it hasn't really changed our kind of outlook or coverage too much, other than, you know, we haven't been to the facilities to meet the new guys, but we've had Zoom calls with them and video conferences with them. So, you know, that has at least been one thing that we've been able to do.
Our NFL news and notes continues with Jim McBride right after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin the Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe, Jim McBride. What are the players saying as far as their training? Like, how are they staying on top of their game?
Yeah, a lot of them talk about how they work out at home, and, you know, they're still in touch with the training staff, and you know, they'd love to be at the facilities and using, you know, those facilities where, you know, they get to train all the time. But they've done a lot of makeshift stuff, but they've made the best of it. We talked to Lawrence Guy, who's a defensive tackle, not too long ago, and he talked about how guys are still able to build camaraderie through the Zoom calls. And you know, there's a lot more talk on those calls about, you know, how's people's families doing. And, you know, so it's not just kind of business as usual as far as working out, but they're actually getting to know each other on a personal level. And I think that that's unique, because usually, you know, that kind of stuff happens, you know, inside the building. So to be able to still build a camaraderie with your new teammates, you know, virtually is kind of a weird thing. And I know some GMs even talked after the draft how they appreciated being at home with their families during the draft and how maybe it gave them a new perspective on the time they spend at facilities. And I think that will have an effect on players as well.
Well, the New England Patriots have a different look. My final question for you is, how many games do you think they will win in 2020? And what do you think the strength of this team is?
You know, I think the strength is the veteran leadership, especially on defense. They've got Dante Hightower on the front seven, and the secondary is just loaded with leaders and playmakers, and, you know, Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Stephon Gilmore, the reigning defensive player of the year. So I think that this team still, you know, still will compete in the AFC East and has to be considered one of the favorites despite the fact that Tom's not there anymore. I think that the defense is going to keep them in ball games, and this team could take the kind of the shape of the early part of the dynasty where, you know, defense was such a premium and kind of quarterback play wasn't, it was more of a kind of a, you know, a maintenance thing or a caretaker, I should say. That might be the philosophy they take this year as they, you know, transition to Jared Stidham. Maybe he's a caretaker of the offense and they win games on defense. And I think if they do that, they could still win 10 games and you know, win the AFC East and make the playoffs.
Wow. Okay. So it's wait and see at this point. Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe. Check him out, globe.com. That is Jim McBride. Give him a follow on Twitter at Globe Jim McBride. You stay safe. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
Of course. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Hour 2 is next.